These guys survived the David Kahn era of Timberwolves basketball and live to tell about it. It's Flagrant Howls.
And welcome in to Flagrant Howls. I'm going to say goodbye to Ross. That's my bad here. We'll bring Ross back in for Random Wolf of the Week a little bit later. Kyle, this is the first time you've been on the podcast since the epic Friday Dane Moore NBA podcast with Mark Laurie, Alex Rodriguez. I know you're going through some family stuff right now, which is why you were out on Tuesday. I just want to turn it over to you, man. Like, it's been kind of a crazy week in your life, both personally, professionally, and Luka Garza is now on the main Wolves roster too, which is another big moment for you this week. So welcome back, Kyle Tighe, to Flagrant Howls, man.
Thanks. Thanks for setting this up. Apologies in advance. It's AirPods today. It's no Ethernet cable, so I'm sure I sound trashy, but headed home later tonight. But yeah, I was excited to get on the pod on Tuesday, Phil. You and I have talked every day on the phone or since that interview. That interview was crazy. We could talk about it a little bit today. Kind of consumed my Friday. And then Saturday, I tried to, you know, unwind a little bit, celebrate. And then as I was going to sleep that night, got a phone call from my parents or from my dad. They're in Hawaii still. They kind of snowbird here for a little bit. And my mom was getting airlifted from one island to the other with blood clots in her lungs and leg. And long story short, they were trying to fly home. I'm not going to turn this into a travel blog, but they're trying to fly home back to North Dakota. And had she gotten on that plane, she probably would have died. Wow. So you kind of go from this cool moment in your career to, and didn't really have time to celebrate. And then, it's just kind of been chaotic since then. I'm in Honolulu this morning. It's pretty nice here, but not for fun reasons. So flew here to help my parents get my mom stable. She was released from the hospital. I had a lot of friends that have reached out. So again, I want to talk basketball. That's why we're doing this. But I wanted to use this opportunity to say thanks to everyone that reached out. My mom's doing a lot better. Hopefully we get her on a plane next week to fly home. But yeah, I use this platform for, I don't know, a lot of weird reasons, but it was another reminder to trust your body. If you're not feeling well, go to the doctor. It could be anything, but, you know, take care of yourself. And also, too, like, if you're listening to this, pause the podcast and reach out to people you love and check in on them, tell them you love them. Because the last 96 hours, the last 4 or 5 days have been absolute hell. And I was looking forward to just hopping on here with you today and chopping it up because hasn't been a great week, but things are looking better. So,
yeah. Well, dude, I mean, thank you for I wasn't sure if you were going to share details. I'm glad you did, because I know that there's an audience here, Flagrant Howls and Wolves fans, that love you and are and sort of consider those of us idiots on microphones who are attempting to entertain them as part of their lives, even if we've never met them before. And so I think you're going to find that you have an army of people that are supporting you, people that you've never met, people that'll probably reach out to you. And, you know, Lord knows, I think, you know, I've been doing this on a microphone for 15 or 20 years, and I'm not sure I really realized until my parents started going through some health issues, and that all kind of started like 6 or 7 years ago with my mom. And unfortunately, she did not make it. And then my dad, who passed away a year and a half ago, like, when you go through things in your life or things happen to your parents or whoever, like, man, people, sports fans especially, there's just like a community of people that,
for sure,
whether you know them or not, they just want to relate and reach out. And I hope that you feel that same thing from Timberwolves fans and Flagrant Howls listeners. I wasn't sure I really fully realized that until some things started happening in my life too. And I'm just super grateful for this community of crazy sports fans.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been doing this for 7 years, and it's always been for me to provide a distraction, selfishly for me, right, to get away from whatever you got going on in your life, but hopefully to entertain and make people laugh or think. So that's why I wanted to do this one today, is just, we got a lot to talk about. And I haven't really talked about anything fun in a while. So, and again, thanks to everyone that reached out, and please reach out to the people closest to you. Or if you're not feeling well today, go to a clinic, a hospital. You never know what's going on, but I did want to kind of just bring that up at the beginning, because this is a community and a lot of people have reached out and showed me love. So no good way to segue to Luka Garza being an NBA player now, but wherever you want to go, whatever you want to talk about, I'm all open.
Can we actually start there? I mean, I was kind of joking, but But dude, we got a Shams bomb this morning. So last night, the Wolves put the beating of a franchise history on the Raptors without Mike Conley. They basically said, I know it's a back-to-back and we're tied for the one seed, but we can totally sit Mike Conley and Kat's already out. Don't worry about it. It's the Raptors. They're actively trying to get as low as they can in the standings, 15 straight losses. And so the Wolves wind up resting their starter. They're up by 30 points going into the fourth quarter, whatever. So Luka Garza comes in for the last 9.5 minutes of the game, drops 16 points in 9.5 minutes. And then Shams comes in this morning and says, the Timberwolves are converting two-way center Luka Garza to a standard NBA contract, placing him on the playoff roster, his agents from Clutch Sports tell The Athletic and Stadium. So Luka Garza, I think he might even get louder ovations than Naz Reid when he checks into games. Last night, again, he got like a standing ovation, but he's gone from kind of this like cult favorite, tongue-in-cheek almost thing. The dude came in against Denver a couple weeks back, 2-3 weeks back at home when the Wolves were down Gobert, Kat, and Naz Reid. He plays like 30 minutes guarding Jokic the entire night, and the Wolves were a three-pointer away from going to overtime. I mean, he's held his own, mostly in garbage time, but I think it's really cool that he is now playoff roster eligible and has an actual NBA contract after last night. Bravo to Luka Garza.
Yeah.
Garzabage time is paying off.
The human victory to Garza. I think it's cool, too. Like, you saw other people. I saw Austin Rivers this morning, like, Instagram story saying, like, congrats. No one works harder than you. It does seem like he's beloved in the locker room.
Yeah.
And it's funny you made the Naz Reid comp, because obviously Naz Reid is just a better player in all aspects. But there's a similarity that they both have of they know their limitations and they just work really hard to get better in every category they can, because, you know, like Luka Garza is never going to be that good defensively. Naz Reid has gotten a lot better defensively, but he even has limitations on that side of the ball, too. But he comes in, he does his job. He is beloved. He's really talented. I think the worst thing going for Luka is that he probably is rostered on the team with the deepest front court in the NBA.
Yeah.
You know, like
he should go to Toronto, actually, is what he should do.
He would have dropped Malachi Flynn numbers and had a 50 burger if he played for the Raptors. But, you know, not only is he behind Rudy and he's behind Carl and he's behind Nas, but with Carl out of the picture, Finchie still goes to like Kyle Anderson at the four or a small ball five. So he's just buried on the roster. But yeah, it's he's an NBA player now. He's not on a 2-way. He's not on a 10-day. I was talking to Dane this morning. I don't think there's any like Gupta special stuff here in that contract. I think it's just a standard procedure to get him eligible for the playoffs. I think he'll be a normal free agent this summer. But it's good for him. He's put in a lot of hard work. And it's nice to have, you know, a really skilled, somewhat limited, but skilled big guy as your fifth center come playoff time, where, yeah, if you get into a situation with some injuries or fouls, you throw him at a Nurkic or you throw him at a Jokic. So congratulations to him. Good guy, deserves it.
Yes, yes. The other thing that's been, I think, just a theme this week is just the Wolves bench in general, like the guys that are above Luka Garza on the depth chart. But, and I don't know, you know, I know you've been immersed in life stuff here, but, you know, Judd was at the game the other night against the Bulls. I was at Target Center just sleuthing around a couple nights ago. And it's pretty incredible, the Kyle Anderson conversation. We can start there. Just how much that has changed in the last 2 or 3 months. Before the trade deadline, there was a lot of people that wanted Kyle Anderson gone. Just get him out of here, get his weird slow-mo three-point shots and his like scuffling with Rudy at the end of last year. I think a lot of people were just kind of done with him. And you fast forward to a couple nights ago, and he's getting a standing ovation 2 or 3 different times going into timeouts. He's Euro-stepping a defender on a fast break and giving the Jordan shrug to the front row of Lexus Club members, you know, 13 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds, 2 steals, 2 blocks, even knocked down a 3 in that game against the Rockets. And Chris Finch said he saved our season last year. And now once again, he is this incredible Swiss Army knife going into the playoffs. Jordan McLaughlin, who is shooting 50% from 3-point range here with just a handful of games left. You know, this is a team that is 9 or 10 deep, and you're going to have to legitimately probably cut a really good rotation player or two when you go into the playoffs in terms of minutes. But I don't know. I guess my point is I really love the way this team is stacking up and some of the things they're doing to overcome in-game adversity, double-digit leads erased, and macro adversity with a bunch of billionaires slinging grenades at each other across the media, which I blame you in part for that, which we can get to. But this team is in such great shape right now, Kyle, is my long rambling point.
It's maybe the only thing I've ever been right about, right? Was I think last year I said, well, 2 years ago, I said, this is the deepest team in Wolves franchise history. And then they ran it back and they got somehow deeper. Their depth is one of their strengths. Obviously, they play great defense. Obviously, I think they're coached really well. They have superstars. They have a lot of shooting. But their depth is incredible. And I don't know, maybe this is me turning a new leaf. I'm not as petty as I used to be. But the people that wanted Kyle gone had points that were valid, right? Like Kyle was not the same. He wasn't the season saver to start this season. Like right before the trade or the All-Star break, I remember asking Finch in Portland, like, do you think after the trade deadline, Kyle kind of got his swagger back because he's not worried about being salary dumped to the Hornets or whatever, right? And you've seen since that trade deadline, Kyle's really found his rhythm. And now he seems like he's attacking, which is crazy because that's not what he was doing the first 45, 50 games of the season. But he's been so good. He is the definition of a Swiss Army knife. Like he really is the closest thing this roster has had to Andrei Kirilenko since AK-47 was here many years ago and could kind of do everything. And one of the guys that's closest to having like a 5x5 in terms of stats. So he's been great. He's also, if you think about post-game interviews or locker room stuff all throughout the season, when they ask anyone like what changed in the second half, what happened? You guys came out flat. Guys are always like, Kyle got on us. Kyle yelled at us. Kyle screamed at us in the locker room. And he seems like if we're doing a leadership power ranking update, like Kyle's probably up there again. So he's been wonderful to have. And
we should do that. Can we do that? Judd and I did it impromptu toward the end of the episode earlier this week. But I told Judd, I'm going to workshop this, but I need Kyle. And by the way, I told the audience Jim Pete was back on Thursday. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Jim Pete is golfing in the beautiful Phoenix area. We couldn't make the schedules line up. Jim Pete will definitely be back here, hopefully next week and soon. He's all in on this thing. But I think Slomo's up there, Mike Conley. Yeah, go give me your leadership, like your top four or five, and I'll give you what I had with Judd the other day.
There's a cool video out there of when they came to the sideline. I think it was against the Rockets game where like Mike Conley is sitting next to Ant. I think Timberwolves Clips tweeted this out. Mike Conley is just in Ant's ear and you can see Ant really listening, which is also like a characteristic now of that 22-year-old future face of the league. He does like listen. He wants to get better. So off the riff, I mean, I don't know. I would probably put Mike Conley at the top because he is the oldest player on the team. I think those guys really listen to him. And I know that the younger guys should find their way in there. I'm sure Anthony Edwards could make a case that he's top three in the leadership power rankings just by his play. Last night, Josh Minot, Phil, had a late game breakaway dunk that he threw down, and Ant had two, sleeping bags wrapped around his knees, and he still jumped up and was like leading the bench brigade of celebrating Josh. So that's great too. But I mean, I think it's some combo of Mike, Kyle, and Rudy. And Rudy might not be the most boisterous leader, but his play leads, like his ability to just play game in and game out, be so, durable, dependable. He just brings a veteran level to what is still, half of the roster is young and inexperienced, right? Jaden and Nas have only played 5 playoff games because they weren't in it last year. So some combination of that trio would be my leadership power rankings. And then I think you'd have to slot Ant in there fourth, and he's rising. I mean, he might be 6 months away from being the leader of this team in all aspects.
So I had said Mike Conley, number one, Slomo, number two, Rudy Gobert, number three.
Okay.
With just buying into, even last night, like everyone talking about buying into Rudy and listening to Rudy more. I've got Ant number four. And then I think then it's like kind of more quiet leaders, more leaders by example. Mm-hmm. The Naz Reid category. Monte Morris, I feel like, probably fits in here somewhere too. Just a guy who's been in a bunch of playoff games. But yeah, I went Mike Conley, Slomo, Rudy, and Ant in my four, in that order.
And I, talking to these guys, being in the locker room a couple times, I think Nikhil's up there too. Nikhil is kind of a quiet, loves a good book. Who doesn't? But he's also a really, really beloved teammate. So you can order those guys any way you want. I think the coolest thing is, having covered this team for, you know, as long as I have, or following it like you and I have, 35 years, I don't think you could have done a top five leadership power rankings many years, right? Like, you wouldn't have had five guys that are showing leadership characteristics.
2 years ago, we had a hard time. We're like,
yeah.
Do you put D'Lo in here? I don't really know. Yeah.
Like, I mean, Cat is not third or fourth.
Right. And the fact that, like, if Cat was healthy, I don't think he is not necessarily a bash Cat fest here, but I don't think he cracks the top four. I'm not taking any of those four guys out, but he's also, to his credit too, he has done a great job of just allowing other people to lead, and can be a unicorn and do his Cat thing.
If you like that stuff, management, leadership, whatever, sometimes not getting in the way is good leadership, right? Like, if, I don't know, I'm again in my feelings all week, but Carl wearing a Ricky Rubio jersey the other night to the game was cool for a fan who's followed this team forever. And just Carl's really embraced the history of this franchise, wearing retro stuff, KG jerseys, Sprewell jerseys. So I'm with you on that. I mean, that's a big starting five of leadership. And I think it's one of the reasons why last night, second night of a back-to-back against a just tanking Toronto Raptors team, you're a 17-point favorite.
Yeah.
Last year, they probably, you know, maybe hang with them for three quarters. And they blew the doors off that thing last night, even without Mike on the court. So this is about as good of a team as, I know the 03-04 team made a run and they deserve to be at the top, but this is about as good of a basketball team as I've ever watched locally.
It's amazing. I mean, when you watch this team play at its peak, it continues to be mind-boggling to think this, but if they're playing the way they did that Friday win over the Nuggets, right? And last night's hard to gauge. They're playing a G League team, but the way they're stomping a G League team out by 50 points without Mike Conley even on the court. If they play at their 90th percentile, they can win the championship. They can legitimately this. Now, I still say win a playoff series first. I think that would be a great little goal here for the first time in 20 years, but they keep adding elements to their game. I mean, there was a period where they were just terrible in the fourth quarter and terrible in clutch time. And I feel like they've corrected some of that, and they're going to be in a lot of those situations in the playoffs. But with, you know, 2 weeks until the playoffs start, the fact that this team can legitimately win the championship continues to be sort of mind-boggling to me. But here we are.
And, you know, there's only six games left, right? But they are kind of peaking, knock on wood, but like, they're kind of peaking at the right time. I was watching like even Suns Cavs last night on ESPN, and the Cavs were a mess. And they had their normal starting five. Donovan Mitchell's been banged up with a couple injuries, but you're just seeing a team that's really finding their stride. How they integrate Carl back in will be interesting. But, you know, if he is, back to the leadership thing, if he's good at just letting other people lead and not getting in the way, if he plays like that, this thing is going to be possibly hit another level. So, what are they at now? 53 wins, I think. And they've clinched home court for the first round. They're clinched pretty much a top three seed unless this thing completely falls off the track. So, home basketball games in April and May, they position themselves about as best as you can. And I think that one seed's probably going to matter to them.
Yeah.
Because that's, you don't want to play a six seed right now. That six seed could be Phoenix, could be New Orleans. I think those teams to me are a little scary, even if it's maybe Dallas. But I'm not, you know, the Kings, the Lakers, the Warriors. You want to have one of those top two seeds and play one of those play-in teams, because those teams have to play that week, Phil, right? The Wolves are going to have a whole week off. Those other teams are going to be battling in single game or single elimination. So
I think you're right about that. Like, there is, like, the, I don't know if those teams aren't going to be exhausted, but they're the Lakers and the Warriors are playing playoff games right now. I mean, the Warriors are playing playoff games to stay in front of the Rockets, who've been surging and finally lost two in a row. And now it looks, although those two teams play, I think, each other tonight. I think it's Warriors Rockets tonight.
Okay.
So if Rockets win, now it gets even closer. There's really no team. I know we've had these conversations. We can do more matchup discussions maybe next week when the playoffs are even closer, but there's really no team that I feel like is going to be a complete cakewalk in the first round. Because if you get either Lakers or Warriors, and those teams are ramping up, playing their best basketball just to get in, and they're putting Hall of Famers on the court who are playoff seasoned and experienced, you know, that's, I'll still take the Timberwolves and the Timberwolves depth and Anthony Edwards, but It's going to be there are so many fun playoff matchups, fun on paper, but potentially anxiety riddled matchups for Timberwolves fans that we'll just have to see how they could be the one, the two, the three. They could play one of the play-in teams. They could play the sixth seed, and we're not going to know for like a week and a half. So strap in, I guess.
And all that matters to me in these last six games, playoff seeding would be great, right? Win them all. I have a couple nice future bets on Chris Finch to win Coach of the Year. And if the Wolves finish first in the West, the Minnesota Timberwolves finish first in the Western Conference. The new phrase is what they need to be added to the conversation or whatever. You can add any coach to the conversation. Chris Finch has to win Coach of the Year if the Wolves finish first.
Oh, like has entered the chat.
Yeah, Mosley from Orlando needs to be in the conversation. Sure, invite him into the chat, but Finch needs to win it if they finish first. This is the same team that 12 months ago was like worst trade ever. Yeah. Not only has Chris Finch made two bigs work, he just took it to another level and made three bigs work with Nas folded in as your new small forward. So, yeah, these next week and a half are going to be interesting, but I'm way more concerned about guys like Ant, Jaden, staying healthy, but also finding a good rhythm. Because to the top of the show, I've loved what Jordan McLaughlin's given him. I've loved what Monty Morris has given him and stuff. Even Kyle Anderson, Finch is not going to play 10 guys come playoff time. At least one of those guys is going to get cut. You know, you might not play a 50% three-point shooter in Jordan McLaughlin in the playoffs, which is crazy, but you're going to need your heavy hitters to be swinging their bat as best as they can come April 20th, April 21st. So that's what I'll be watching for more than, playoff seeding. Cause I think they can beat anyone really, especially the teams they'll play, right? Like they're not going to play Denver. They're not going to play OKC. They can beat anyone 5 through 10.
Yeah. Okay. We want to get your thoughts now, just sort of debriefing the podcast with A-Rod and Lori here in a second. And maybe we can squeeze in a random Wolf of the Week before you head to the airport. A shout out quick to our friends at Nicolet Law, the exclusive personal injury law firm of Flagrant Howells and Score North. Nicolet Law is proud to serve the Twin Cities community. They're just your normal everyday folks, the ones you see at the gas station in your Twin Cities area, suburb, whatever it is in the city, walking the dog. But they're normal folks who happen to have law degrees who can help you when an unexpected accident occurs. You give them a call. You know you're working with people who truly understand where you're coming from here. NicoletLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLET. Nicolet Law, award-winning injury lawyers. And a shout out to our friends over at First Equity Mortgage as well. A few years ago, as I've told you guys for the last couple months on this podcast, I had a great experience refinancing my home at the time with David at First Equity. First Equity, 24 years in the market, they pride themselves on supporting the community, treating every customer as a friend and a neighbor. They also have great programs for veterans and for new home buyers if you qualify. So check them out at femort.com. That's femort.com. Or go to scornorth.com, keyword David. So, okay, Kyle, where on your career and life bingo card did you see yourself on a podcast with Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez absolutely filleting Glenn Taylor for 35 minutes?
I don't even know. I've thought a lot about that. I haven't really had time to like decompress it, but I should say, as much as I can say, you were really big in kind of helping me and Dane behind the scenes, just having a voice because it all happened so fast. I will say I know Dane Moore is a friend of ours and has become one of my good friends, but he did a lot that day to make sure that, to help get that going. And this wasn't one of those classic, I don't think Mark, from my understanding, they weren't doing the car wash, the ESPN thing. They weren't really going around necessarily trying to talk to everyone. But I think once they saw how important it was to go local rather than, hop on some FanDuel sponsored show with Shams, they wanted to go local and be like, this is probably, again, we're all probably pawns in this, right? We're all a voice box for other people.
Absolutely we are. But you know what? Whatever.
I've a lot of people said nice things about that pod. I also know too, I said this to Mark and Alex I'm not a journalist. So if you thought that maybe I tossed Alex Rodriguez some softballs, you're probably right. But I'm just going to say, I tossed Alex Rodriguez softballs. I still haven't really digested it, Phil, but it was, I thought it was important too, from a fan perspective, if nothing else, that it shouldn't have been public. It shouldn't have been this messy. I mean, you're distracting from what I just said was the best season ever. And these fans, don't know if you've seen playoff ticket prices. They have skyrocketed. Like, these fans have are the only stakeholder that have gotten no ROI on their investment, but they still show up. They still are passionate. And they deserved at least to hear both sides of it since it did go public. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go on there and say, like, hey, you know, whether or not we should believe you, like, are you going to move the team? Do you have the money? Can you manage this thing moving forward? And I thought we did a pretty good job of trying to just ask those questions. But again, as I've done this week too with family stuff, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, there's no textbook for some of this stuff, but we just tried in the moment to get the other side out there, to get more information. Because at the end of the day, I don't care who owns the team. I know who I prefer. I just want the basketball to be good. I don't want to be the Raptors anymore, right? Like, I want to have my team win in 50 yeah. games as many years as possible. So thanks again to everyone who shouted us out or, you know, showed love for that. But yeah, I'm curious what you thought. I mean, you actually are a journalist and have done this.
I went to journalism school for at least a little bit before I started playing online poker in classes back at the U of M. I actually broke into the industry more as like a Big J journalist, baseball beat writer, football beat writer. I am nothing close to a journalist now. I'm just an idiot with a microphone who wants to entertain people. But from a journalistic perspective, I think you're shortchanging yourself and you're not shortchanging Dane, because Dane is a Big J capital
Dane's,
journalist.
Yeah, Dane's a journalist. Yeah.
But you guys asked all of the right questions and very pointed questions. I mean, I'm just kind of re-racking in my head, but the questions that people had were, why is Glenn doing this from your perspective? He must have a reason, right? What does the paperwork say? Are you guys actually able to pay for this and fund a team after you get it into the luxury tax, all these things? I mean, you hit all the notes, and now what's kind of amazing about this is there should be no ambiguity. And hell, I mean, you guys even asked that question and Mark Lurie said, no, there is no ambiguity. It's in the paperwork. But that's the crazy thing about this is it's not like there's a subjective, ambiguous interpretation here of whether they did or didn't hit the benchmarks. The benchmarks are spelled out in the contract. They either hit the benchmarks and the checkpoints, or they didn't. If they did, they have legal ground to push back at Glenn Taylor. If they didn't, sorry, guys, come back if you have $3 billion next time. They're for sale. So that's the most wild thing, is these two parties are arguing over something that should be pretty straightforward and ironclad in a contract. And now we're going to find out. I mean, next week, I think the NBA Board of Governors is meeting. And that, you know, there's the checkpoint of, did they submit the final chunk of the, you know, of the money in time by a certain deadline? But then the NBA Board of Governors could come in and just be like, yeah, whether that happened or not, we either do or don't want you. So I don't know, man. This is wild. It's one of the, and I think the NBA came in at some point shortly after and said,
yeah,
why don't you guys shut the bleep up and let the basketball do the talking for right now.
I am not a journalist, but I can confirm that. I think the NBA was like, well, we don't need this to be the what they want to focus on, right, is this playoff push, not just for a fun team in the Timberwolves, but just in general, all 16 teams that are getting into this. I think the media rights deal that the NBA is negotiating is getting pretty close to the finish line. And again, you just don't want any of this out there. Yeah. But yeah, you know, just circle it back to my mom for a sec. Like, you know, she is a big fan of me, probably a bigger fan of you, maybe the biggest fan of Jim Pete. But it was a cool moment for her to watch her son do that 24 hours before she, you know, had this scary thing. But if you're asking me, I would have rather not done it, in terms of, I would have rather this just get finalized. And there was none of the garbage that took place Thursday or Friday. So yeah, I was hoping that, you know, after 50 wins last Wednesday, we'd wake up Thursday and just start focusing on a playoff run. And to have this in there, I think it was really cool the way they responded, you know, just on the court. I know they lost that kind of dumb Bulls game, but they've looked about as non-distracted as you can get. So I think that's a credit to Finchie and his staff and Tim Connelly, and probably behind the scenes just being like, guys, as long as the check's clear, no one cares. Like, who cares? You guys don't care. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, Anthony Edwards famously didn't know who Alex Rodriguez was. I'm pretty sure he's probably not concerned about any of this. But from a fan standpoint on stuff, you just don't need another reason to be a punching bag. So, yeah, I'm appreciative that Mark and Alex did it. I'm appreciative that both sides are out there now. Talking about flagrant fouls, I thought it was wild going back to that interview on Friday when Alex made a reference to me using a Drake lyric, just call them broke boys. That kind of froze me for a sec. But no, I thought they were as honest and forthcoming as you could hope for. We'll see what happens. Again, if this is contracts and lit, I mean, this should all be documented somewhere. So yeah. At some point, this shouldn't be that hard to figure out. But as a fan, again, first and foremost, and a journalist fifth, I appreciated that they acknowledged the importance of the Dane Moore NBA podcast, you know, the Star Tribune, The Athletic, talking to Doogie, rather than trying to do this at a higher level, because a lot of this is a PR battle. A lot of this is trying to now, you know, get really dirty and it's personal. And I thought they did a good job of acknowledging, not me, but the people that work hard to cover this team, right? Dane and Doogie, yeah, and John and Chris and Jason Britton, all those guys, they deserve to have an opportunity to share that side. So we'll see. Again, I don't really think anyone listening to this, like, it's over now. I think we should just stop talking about it until,
agreed,
lawyers and litigation and these big PR firms figure it out. But it was an unfortunate situation that kind of muddied the basketball for a little bit. But I'm hopeful that moving forward, it's just all basketball and it's a successful run. And the worst case scenario is we got to flip a coin to figure out, you know, is it going to be 82-year-old Glenn Taylor or 48-year-old Alex Rodriguez holding a golden trophy in middle of June?
My last thought on this is we did a scoop session with Doogie earlier today, and we were talking about this law firm that represents Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, Wachtel. It's Wachtel, yeah, Lipton, Rosen, and Katz, technically. Yep. And versus Glenn's representation, which is a lawyer named Greg. And yeah, and I'm all due respect to Greg, you know, Greg has handled some, you know, Glenn is a multi-billionaire and lawyer Greg has handled a bunch of big boy cases and things and litigations. But on one hand, you've got this New York based Wachtel, which back in the early 2000s represented the United States Department of the Treasury in connection with the rescues of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. In 2022, they represented Twitter in successfully forcing the completion of a $44 billion takeover by Elon Musk. And now they're representing Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez in this Timberwolves war against lawyer Greg, representing Glenn Taylor. And I just wonder what that's going to... Now, again, shouldn't matter. What does the paperwork say and what actually happened behind the scenes in terms of... What I wonder is... At some point, and this is just my own reckless speculation, because they had a great handshake agreement over Becky's lasagna down in Mankato, yep, all those, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. At some point along the line, did Alex and Mark, maybe they submitted a payment, maybe it was a couple bucks shy of that particular benchmark, but hey, let's keep the train moving. Here's an allotment, and then we'll get the next one. And Glenn said, yeah, we can keep the train moving forward. Don't worry about it. But once Glenn started to see the value of the franchise rise, oh, it's worth $2.5 billion. Oh, it's worth $3 billion. Oh, they're really good now. They're the number one seed in the Western Conference. And technically, if you go back to that first checkpoint, these guys were a little short here. I just wonder what prompted Glenn to do this if Alex and Mark are correct that they legally didn't violate any of the... That's the gray area that we just won't have an answer to yet.
I'm glad we could do a little reckless speculation Thursday. I never get to jump in that train. My take was when it happened, right, a week ago, was that I thought it was odd that Glenn Taylor essentially broke the news, right, via, mm-hmm, a press release, via his organization. You never see that. And I've kind of just thinking about it and digesting it for a week. My thoughts, too, again, just completely my own opinion, is that, you know, maybe Mark and Alex got a little comfortable or relaxed. I mean, they've been working with this guy on the sales process for 24 months, and maybe towards the finish line, you know, they saw it, but they're like, we don't need to sprint. Like, let's jog. Let's look around. Let's wave at people. And then Glenn was like, no, like, this is business, which is odd because this is the same guy that, you know, does business deals over lasagna, or like, yeah, wants to do a look you in the eye. Hey, Andrew Wiggins, do you promise you'll try harder type thing? You know, like Glenn Taylor, yes, kept the Wolves in Minnesota. Glenn Taylor also defied serious NBA rules with the whole Joe Smith thing. So it's like Glenn can't be this attorney, you know, Glenn or attorney Greg chill family business type stuff, and then all of a sudden be like, well, I didn't have every single dollar on the 27th and I didn't have all league approval and stuff, and now I'm going to be a hardo about it. So again, I know I'm biased and I'm on one side of this, but I don't really care. Like, whoever's listening to this, I don't really care who owns the team, because they're finally good. And whoever's, you know, gets the credit for all that stuff, you can, you know, it's just one big bleep swinging contest after another.
Yeah.
The product's good. And the motivation for me to do it, and this isn't like brown nosing this, this is, I'm a fan of this team. You've hired me to do this podcast as a fan of the team. Same with Dane, is it's finally on the right track with the right people at all levels, from Tim Connolly to Chris Finch to Anthony Edwards. The fans are the ones that I don't think are being included in all this litigation and all this sales process and stuff. And they deserve to know what's happening as best as they can. And to also not have their product, you know, everyone's still making money off the team. Alex, Mark, Glenn, everyone.
Yeah.
Except for, you know, the people that are buying tickets to go to the game on next Wednesday. Like, those people are paying money. Everyone else is getting money. So they deserve to have a little idea of what the bleep is happening with this. And I hope Friday gave a little more clarity, although I know that it's still very muddy and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yep. So, hey, I know you have to catch a flight here. So should we?
Parents are here.
Are they here? Well, should we? So we can wrap the pod here, or if you want to do a random wolf, we could maybe save random wolf for next week and double up. Is that the best play?
Let's save it. I gotta say bye to my parents and stuff. But again, I really, really appreciate it. I want to hammer this home. Everyone that reached out, I love doing this. I love trying to entertain you. And for me today, this was my distraction. So thanks for listening. Sorry for the bad audio, but we'll be back next week. And I'm excited to do this. I'm excited to cover this team in what has been the best season of my life, Phil. And I think you and I and everyone we bring on the pod are going to make it really, really fun and special. So
great to have you back, man. Say hi to your family from not only me, but the Flagrant Howls audience. And we'll do a couple random wolves on Tuesday and Thursday next week. Get Jim Pete back in the mix. Fun stretch run coming up here. He's Kyle. I'm Phil for producer Ross. This is a Timberwolves Lifestyle podcast.